Well, folks, as we open up this week's culture segment, I get to introduce you to a new friend of the Boundless family, Janet Boines. She is the author of Called Out, A Former Lesbian's Discovery of Freedom. She is also the founder of Janet Boines Ministries, which is actually a Christian outreach that ministers to hurting people who are desiring to leave the homosexual lifestyle. So, and also in addition to that, she's really a big encourager of the church in reaching out with hope and restoration to the homosexual community. So, Janet, welcome to The Boundless Show.
Lisa, God bless you. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you. I had the opportunity to read your book, and really, which is, I like the way you set it up. Half of it is your story and kind of encapsulating what God has done in your own life. And then half of it moves then into really an instructional manual of sorts for the church and for those who have struggled with same-sex attraction and really what the issues are behind your own story as well as others. And so, I want to start off just by having you tell us a little bit about your own childhood, because, I mean, my goodness, I just walking into your childhood with you and what you experienced, it's obvious that you struggled to belong and to feel special in light of a number of different things. But how did this feeling, tell us a little bit about your childhood and then how the effects of that carried over into your adult life?
Yeah, I was raised in a family of seven kids, four different fathers. And when you're the middle child, two boys and a girl older, two boys and a girl younger, you sort of feel a little left out. Now, not all middle children feel that way. However, my mom had her, I can say, special kids, the oldest and the two youngest. And so I always felt like I was left out. In spite of all that, my stepfather who raised me was an alcoholic. And he abused my mother. And so what happens is he abused my mother. My mother abused us, and I became the abuser as well. So I would go to school and beat up young boys. And when I wrote the book Called Out, what I realized is that what was inside of me, I was trying to get out. I really was angry with my father. There was no way of attacking him and telling him how I felt. So I would go out and beat up a lot of the other kids in school. However, it didn't get me very far. So medicating my pain, that was my way out. And I got involved in drugs and alcohol and was kicked out of school often until I met my eighth grade English teacher who came into my life. And she said something to me that I never heard before, because not only was I beat with extension cord and broom handles and butt naked and slapped in front of my friends and called all kinds of names by my mom, my eighth grade English teacher, she said to me one day, Boings, you have so much potential. And I took a step back as if I heard something wrong, because I never was the pretty girl. I didn't look as nice as some of the other girls. None of the guys really liked me as far as a relationship, but I always played sports with them. So I was always the tomboy. So to hear something come out of my eighth grade English teacher's mouth saying, you have potential, meant the world to me. So I came in after school, spent time with her, and she literally took me under my wing. She came to my basketball games, worked with me on my English and math and whatever studies I needed help with. And so from there on, I really started having hope. However, when I went off to go to college, she informed me that she was going to Minneapolis, Minnesota. There, the abandonment came right back in. I felt she was going, she was walking away, she wasn't going to be a part of my life. And so, even though I played basketball for Cheney State College, my grades started falling and feeling like I had nobody to go to. My mother has always been illiterate. So we really did all the reading and all reading her mails and working with her and helping her have an understanding of what, our studies were. So we didn't really have that at home. And when she moved 3 years later, I moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and that's where I gave my heart to the Lord.
Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting because I think you described throughout your story how you really felt God calling to you from a very early age. And a lot of people would look at your story and just be like, oh, obviously there's no God in that story. Obviously, Janet didn't have any association with the church or with believers or with even an understanding that God could exist. But you really see threads and you saw threads even of his goodness in your life throughout your childhood and into your teens and beyond. How did he show up and what did prompt that heart change, would you say, even though, you were caught in a cycle of violence and at that point, drugs and more?
God has a mysterious ways of showing up. I think in each and every one of our lives, you know, he's in our everyday, mundane, ordinary, boring, exciting things. You know, whether it's through encouraging words from a friend or through a lyrics of a song, you know, when you really need to hear it, God shows up. And that's what was good for me, is that anytime I looked to the left or to the right and I thought God wasn't there, because we used to go to Bible studies, you know, at in our younger days, so we knew about God. But through his word and just listening to that still small voice, I knew that God was real. But inside, because in my childhood, raped twice, watched my dad abuse my mother, things were tough. Even though I had a relationship with men, I still wasn't healed from the inside out. So at the same time, I really didn't tap into God in my early childhood life. I really got into the word of God when I got saved and gave my heart to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and let's talk a little bit about you moving, you know, kind of the relational landscape that you moved through, because I think a lot of people will say that those who've experienced same-sex attraction or have been in homosexual relationships, they'll just immediately say, oh, yeah, well, I was born that way, and that's I've just always been attracted to women or to men. But you were actually in some relationships. I know you referenced Lawrence in the book, you know, yeah, having a long-term relationship there. But at the same time, you were also being pulled emotionally and then sexually towards women. What do you think precipitated that as far as the journey in that direction?
You know, I'm glad you asked that. You know, I was reading in Genesis 4:7, it says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crossing at your door and the desire is to master it. You need to rule over it. You need to control it. Well, there was a lot of things in my life that I saw coming, but in the end, I wasn't able to master it. I think I talked in my book about meeting this wonderful guy who courted me, and I believe he loved me. However, I still felt that abandonment. He was on the road as a professional bike racer and as a drummer. And even though we were preparing for marriage 3 months before I was supposed to walk down the aisle, this woman gave me a lot more attention than my fiance did. And one night, I spent the night at her home, and I walked away from the Lord for 14 years. I mean, you think about it. Sin is always crouching at our door, and it's up to us to master it. It's up to us to make the final decision. Nobody forced me into homosexuality. Nobody dragged me. I made the final decision to walk away from the man that I was supposed to marry and get involved in a homosexual life. You know, we're all born of a sinful nature. However, no matter what that sin is, you know, outside of the Word of God, outside of God, it is still our desire to do the right things. As Paul says, sometimes I don't. And at that time, I made the wrong decision and walked away for 14 years.
Yeah. And I love what you say about just, you know, what God calls us to, and the fact that, you know, truly, I mean, it's, you know, he's constantly calling us into relationship with him, and we're the ones that choose to walk away. You know, it's which actually precipitates a question here. You know, I think a lot of people assume, whether they're same-sex attracted or in a relationship or have friends and family, they assume that leaving the gay lifestyle is a matter of simply changing behavior. But can you explain what actually has to happen? Because I'm sure you spent many nights just willing yourself to do something different, or just saying, well, tomorrow this is going to change, or I'll, but you know, we fall into sin patterns. What has to change in light of that?
You know, I love that you're asking that question, because a lot of things people think that walking away from homosexuality is so easy. This is a process. Mm-hmm. This just doesn't happen overnight. It took me, I've been out of this life 17 years. It took me 17 years to get to where I'm at today. And God is still continuously changing. And too often we get so caught up in behavior modification, but what we need really is a soul transformation. It's a change of heart. It's not changing from the outside in. It's changing from the inside out. And so many people think, you know, that, okay, you're saved. Now you're supposed to change. You talk to churches. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in, we always talk about, you know, old things pass away, all things become new. No, church. Listen to the beginning of the scripture says, if any man be in Christ. What does that mean? well, let's get into him. Let's read his word. Let's get to know him, have a relationship. Then he said, once you and me, then all things will pass away and all things become new. It took for me to get into the word, be around mentors, go to church, get into a good Bible-based church. And as I sat under the word of God, the Lord started putting different desires in my heart. When I was, you know, God put in my heart to carry a purse or do it, put on makeup, I was scared to death. I would poke myself in the eye, and I wanted to give up. But I didn't give up. I kept working at it. Women around me kept helping me. I wanted to change. I wanted to look more feminine. Mm-hmm. And if people look at my pictures from 1998 until today, you'll see how the Lord, I evolved. Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't have to change and look as feminine as I do, mm-hmm. you know, or the Lord has allowed me to look, or the changes that I made in my life. It was really up to me. When God put that desire, I wanted to embrace it, so I took it and ran with it. And yeah. I love who I am today.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's so much of it, you know, and whatever your sin issue is, whatever you're struggling with, I mean, we have listeners probably who span the spectrum here. I love how, you know, I mean, you even describe in the relationships you were in, how you were almost trying to make up for the lack in your life. I mean, you got into relationships and there was a fear there of needing to control and needing to make sure that you know, knew where these women were, that you know, that they were giving you their all, and that you didn't want to lose them because of fear of, you know, that rest, you know, really rocking your world and your identity and all. You know, I think it's so easy for us to just think of people as nameless and faceless, but these were people that were in your life that you would become very emotionally attached to. And so you had to almost, I mean, would you say you had to start feeding your identity with Christ and with scripture to replace that need? Is that what I'm hearing?
It is so, you're right, because most of us women are so emotionally enmeshed, even in some of our girlfriends, you know, those who never got involved in a homosexual life. We have, you know, we were born to have fellowship and relationship. However, a lot of us women, when we have come out of homosexuality, we don't and we can't discern the difference between somebody who wants to be a friend to us and somebody who wants to be in a relationship with us. Mm-hmm. So we really, our minds have to be renewed. And I was so involved with women that's all I knew. Only thing I knew is, even if I didn't have a sexual relationship with her, I just wanted somebody to be around me, just somebody to hold me, somebody to love me. But, you know, I've learned over a period of time that, you know, God has really just been the husband to me, the friend to me, the woman, you know, or the man, or the, you know, the cook, whatever I need. I'm finding that in him. And that comes with time. That comes with getting to know him and trusting that he has our best interests at heart. And his desire is to see us do well. Mm-hmm. And so it does take time.
Yeah, sure. So what would you say, Jenna, in light of that, and in light of the truth that you now know, and how God does show up when we truly put our heart in his hands, for that listener who's in a same-sex relationship right now or struggles with same-sex attraction on some level, and is probably feeling like there's no hope, there's no way they could extricate themselves from that relationship, there's no way they could, you know, if they feel they have a certain sexual orientation, there's no way they can change that, what hope can you give them from what you've learned?
You know, what I've learned is that so many times I put my hope in my friends, I put my hope in my church, and my hope really is in the Lord. There can't be any other thing that I personally believe that we can find our hope in, because Jesus is everything to me. And I know you hear a lot of people say, because I hear it, come on, get off this Jesus thing, or, you know, isn't there anything else out there? I don't want anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have thoughts, church. We're going to have temptations. You're going to have desires. Jesus had them. But at the same time, you can overcome that, because you and I are destined for greatness. You're always going to have the enemy come into your life and try to tempt you in the areas that you're weakest in. But you can master this. And I believe that when you go to God and you humble yourself and you ask him to help you, he said, resist the devil and he'll flee. And that's just not a lie. That's truth. I've had to depend on that for the last 17 years.
Yeah. And that's good, because I think what you're saying is it doesn't mean, you know, even the title of your book, Called Out, it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that now you've just arrived and God doesn't have anything left to teach you. What would you say are the biggest things that God speaks into your identity on a daily basis that you have to be reminded of?
That I have to, you know, not put my faith in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Mm-hmm. It really does amount to him. You know, I find it time and time and time again in these last days that I have to draw closer to him. Hmm. It is so important. I put my faith in everybody else, and they failed me. Mm-hmm. Because people are human. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm putting my faith in God, even in the days that I'm lonely, I've been out of that life 17 years. I'm still single. There's days when I get lonely. There's days when all my friends that are married are out doing things in couples and with their spouses. I don't have a choice but to put my faith in him and stay focused on him, because if I start looking to the left and to the right and start having that woe is me syndrome and start having a pity party, I will fall away. Hmm. I will fall away. So that's why I try to keep my eyes on him.
Yeah. Well, in light of that, and that's, it's so true, I mean, on a personal level, in light of that, in fact, just in our previous segment, we were talking with a group of young adults, just looking at the Supreme Court decision on recognizing same-sex marriage here as a nation. What, I think it's easy for us as a church to despair in light of that and to say, well, you know, to just flat out despair, because we know truth and we know that this is contrary to God's design for marriage. Or maybe we start questioning our own beliefs and say, well, maybe this is okay, or maybe I should, you know, how do I love my friends who are rejoicing here, and how do I stand for truth if I believe in that? What's your encouragement to the church in light of this, and just keeping a larger God perspective on an issue when it seems like our culture is moving in the opposite direction?
You know, it's been really difficult for our church. I talk with many pastors. However, we know the church is not a stained glass, it's not a steeple, it's not a building. We know the people are the church. However, when we talk about our pastors and what they need as far as working with those, I'm going to go this route, and dealing with homosexuality and how do we accept them, I believe in compassion without compromise. I believe personally that gays and lesbians should be in our church. How do we find Christ? By someone bringing us to church. However, we always have to set up boundaries in our church so we're not allowing our young kids and adults to think that we are accepting this. I mean, the holding hands and the kissing, that's not from God. I believe homosexuality is a sin. But once they are sitting in our church and they're hearing the Word of God and the gospel, how can they not change? We have to give them that opportunity, because this new generation, this new culture, this new millennium, they are different. We have to work with them in a different way. We can't be the same old or do the same old status quo. We're going to have to learn how to adapt to this new culture if we're going to reach them.
So true. And Janet, I'm glad that you're leading the charge on this, not only out of your convictions, but out of your own story and what God has done. I mean, truly, the power of the gospel is in a transformed life. So again, the book is Called Out, A Former Lesbian's Discovery of Freedom. I've been talking to Janet Boines. Find out more about her at janetboinesministries.com. And that's Janet, B-O-Y-N-E-S, ministries.com. Janet, thank you so much for speaking into this with, just as you illustrated, truth, but also compassion, looking at the hearts behind the issue. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.